Dr. Santana from Holistic Medicine, thanks for tuning in. We're going to talk about some frequently asked questions. Okay, so found this program that aggregates, you know, what people are searching for the most and what people want to know the most. So we're going to go down the list and talk about what some of the biggest questions are about, and we're going to answer them in order of, you know, most. I'm going to focus on the ones that are asked the most according to this thing. So acupuncture for anxiety, it's a thing. It does exist. It does work. And I don't think there's any reason to be afraid of it or to aggrandize it. I mean, the side effects of acupuncture, so, which we'll probably going to talk about in a few minutes. So the side effects of acupuncture, the possible negative effects of acupuncture are so much less and so much lower than that of the alternative methods for using anxiety that I would go for acupuncture first and often in the instances of treating it. Acupuncture, meditation, eating the right foods, changing the external stimulus of your world, those are going to be your major game changers in terms of your experience of anxiousness or anxiety. There's a lot of alternatives that don't involve either costly medications or medications that are costly in terms of their effect on the body, their effect on you, or you know, and potential aggregate negative side effects. So if you're on a medication that has some negative side effects for a year or a couple of months, like maybe you'll be okay compared to if you were on that same medication for a decade or 2 decades or 3 decades. So we want to avoid that. We want to avoid that prolonged use of these medications, and that I usually think these medications like that are great in the interim. They're great to start and interrupt the process. They're great to create a change in a situation where we need such significant leverage that it's worth the risk. But when it's no longer worth the risk, that or you know, once we're out of immediate danger, once the person's out of immediate danger, whatever the thing may be, then it's important for us to be able to have the opportunity to scale back and say, okay, how can we, you know, like the scene in Indiana Jones, where Indiana Jones has a bag of beans or something, he's trying to switch it with the idol without setting off the booby trap, right? You want to take a lower risk situation and switch it out with the higher risk situation, the higher side effect situation, without the body having to recoil so much, without experiencing, in case of anxiety, without going back to anxious panic attacks or super, super anxious states, but rather being able to switch one habit or one technique with a technique that was originally creating that new stasis, that homeostasis, like, well, not stasis, not stagnation, but equilibrium or a new form of it. Acupuncture for weight loss. That's an interesting one. There are acupuncture weight loss techniques where you go in and get super, super aggressively needled around the tummy with E-stim, and it's sensational, memorable, but you have to go exercise immediately afterwards for an hour. There's no ifs or buts. It's the only way that that particular method works. That's one of the few acupuncture weight loss methods that I know of. As far as acupuncture, you know, people say, like, acupuncture, you gotta do it for weight loss. Like, yeah. If I had a magic weight loss needle, my clinic would be full of many people out the door. I don't know if it really exists that way, where you can just put a needle on somebody and magically pounds fall off. So in regards to what acupuncture can do for, can, you know, unnecessary weight gain or feeling like they're of an advanced weight or their weight's been too high or too long, whatever reason for wanting to lose weight, whatever circumstance it is, you want to look into ways to change the underlying metabolism. Why is the person gaining weight? Why and how? And in traditional East Asian medicine, you also have herbs, diet, and, you know, supplementation and stuff that we can do, there's exercises that we can do. There's more to the discussion than just putting a needle on somebody for weight loss. Those techniques do exist. Not a lot of people practice them. Not a lot of people know them. So I would definitely put acupuncture in as something, if I needed to aggressively, I would definitely consider acupuncture. If for nothing else, then optimizing the digestive system, which it can do, and providing you the necessary energy to get off your butt and go exercise and to support all the other stuff that goes into weight loss. Weight loss isn't just about the pounds falling off. It's about the emotional state and gain. It's about the hormonal cascade. It's about the optimization of the digestion. It's about the foods that you put in. It's about who you spend your time with. It's about so much more than just pounds on, pounds off. Oftentimes, it is that simple, but there's all those other layers of complexity that we need to acknowledge. Acupuncture for sciatica, we just did a bunch of conversation on that, but acupuncture for sciatica is super, super effective, and I'm not going to dwell on it too long, but it's like one of acupuncture's party tricks. If you're like, you know, you probably bring acupuncture to a party, and somebody's in the corner, like, I got sciatica, here, come on, lay down. And blah, 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 blah. They'd be like, oh my God, jump off the table after like three or four needles, and they're jumping around, and their sciatica's coming. Acupuncture is super effective for that. And another weird acupuncture party trick is, you know, like frozen shoulder sometimes can be like that. Some orthopedic pains can be like that, where you need to real quick. Do the right manipulation in the right time in the right way. And people are like, oh my God, my arm works, my neck works. Periods, if people are amenorrhea, if you're on your, you know, day 29, 30, 40, 30, 35, 40, you know, getting up there, waiting for that period, wondering, knowing that you're not pregnant, but you're just like, I don't understand why my period's not coming. Oftentimes, acupuncture can bring that about quite quickly. What else we got? Acupuncture to induce labor. Yeah. Definitely. That exists. There's protocols. There's tons of protocols that we get taught in school. Like most acupuncturists, not just me. Like if you think I'm good and great and special, like I'm not really that much more good and great and special than a lot of acupuncturists, my colleagues out there who have gone through much of the same education that I have. I mean, we are different in a lot of ways, but it's part of the basic education that you get in school is how to reduce labor. I actually worked at a fertility clinic for a little while, studied and apprenticed there. And we have people come in on a regular basis saying, okay, ready for the induction. We had protocols that we would give people induction, and it's hard to know whether or not somebody would have had a not great delivery in the absence of that, but I will say that there have been definite, like, you know, seemed like a baby just kind of slipped out. The moms were grateful to have had the procedure, and also all, you know, acupuncture for labor and delivery is great. It does work. There's plenty of research on it working. The protocols are taught to almost every acupuncturist, and most acupuncturists could probably accomplish it with some level of success. Some people specialize it more than others. Much like any other issue that you would go see a acupuncturist for, they're all gonna have their different specialties. So you just gotta kind of shop around and see who you're looking for. Do you vibe with the person? Do you resonate with the person? What's their specialty? Does your problem match their specialty? And that might be, something to keep in mind. But yeah, acupuncture and induced labor, it's a thing. It works. There's scientific research on it, and there's also scientific research on the next thing: acupuncture to stop smoking. So oddly enough, there's one of the major stop smoking protocols. I'm gonna go on a little rant here for a second. Not a rant, but like a little background story to fill out this explanation. But there was a study done where they were doing, I think it was a study. It was an, well, anyway, the anecdote goes this way, that there was a ear acupuncture point that was being utilized in a protocol for anesthesia. Could you imagine getting acupuncture anesthesia? Like going after surgery and somebody's like, okay, I'm gonna put your needles. You're like, nope, no chemicals. Like numbing and anesthesia, acupuncture, that's a thing. I'm looking forward to learning more about that. Probably never necessarily do it, but I think it's a cool skill to have. But it was found that people who go under the acupuncture needle for under intense stimulation for this, sleepy effect, the analgesic effect of what's it called? Anesthesia. Sorry, I'm not used to saying that word very much. So the anesthesia protocol would actually leave people who were smokers and with less of a and less of an urge to smoke. So that became the foundation of what became the National Association for the Detoxification Acupuncture, NADA, NADA protocol, which is used all across the United States. You ask any acupuncturist what the NADA protocol is. You go to any acupuncturist, say, I want to quit smoking, please do the NADA protocol, then they'll probably all know that protocol. And ironically, the point, that same question, is the point that connects with the lung, which, without getting too deep into theory, or that lung acupuncture point that's in the ear, it connects with the psyche's wanting, desire, earthly craving, right? The part of you that says, like, I want to eat, I want to hold on to something, I want to have intercourse, I want to touch, like that earthly desire and eating kind of thing. By super stimulating that, it was decreasing that craving urge. They call it stilling the pull, right? They call it, there's a the pull spirits being this, like, spirit, this component of your spirit, this component of your psyche, right? Spirit, psyche, kind of occupying same some similar mental territory. By stilling that part of the psyche, we can decrease cravings and take away some of the suffering associated with quitting smoking. So that's pretty cool. Labor, bring about labor, losing weight, talked about that, stop smoking, labor. Acupuncture without needles. I guess we're talking about acupressure. There's an interesting, so acupressure exists, it's a thing, right? Acupuncture without needles is kind of, what are you using instead of the needles? Are you using like electricity, or are you using your finger, thumb? They sell these tools that are like funny little knuckle shaped things that you use with a handle to like press on people. It's not exactly this, but it'd be a smaller version of this, pressing on somebody's point, so it saves the finger of the practitioner. There's all kinds of points for different things that people can self-stimulate. This one is the common one for headache. People talk about it in between the thumb and the index finger on the palm, on the back side of the palm, or in between the two tendons on the wrist, about 2 or 3 inches up from the wrist crease on the inside of the arm, the white side. Not the white side, sorry, but the lighter side of the skin. Really, the part of the arm has less hair. On me, it's white. On me, it's whiter than the darker side, than the tan side, the side that sees the sun more often. And so yeah, practitioners use acupressure on themselves. They'll be, sitting in the chair, talking to somebody, rubbing some points. Almost unconsciously, we start to, I think, for an acupuncturist, you'll listen to this, you'll be like, oh yeah, do that. You'll be sitting around massaging a point while eating, turkey dinner or hanging out with a neighbor. You don't even think about it sometimes, but it does work. It's a thing. It depends on the practitioner. How good are they at it? How good is their diagnosis, their treatment skills and abilities, stuff like that. So it does exist. I've been able to treat people in this clinic. I'm an acupuncturist, but I also practice herbs, diet, physical manipulation. We have cupping, scraping, just kind of like Graston therapy, I guess. There's all kinds of things that we can do. Stretching, heart-assisted stretching, Twain medical massage. So we can do 5, 6, 7 things that aren't needles and still affect change in the body in a number of different ways without getting too deep into it. There's a lot that we can do, excuse me, even without using needles. Acupuncture with electrical stimulation is used for so many things, and there's more and more research coming in it practically by the minute. It's getting more and more advanced. It's great for what it's great for, like most things, right? Hammers are great for hammering, and not great for too many other things other than hammering and pulling nails. Acupuncture with electrical stimulation can treat things from like physical pain, can treat emotional pain, can treat inflammation, joint pains, muscle pain, muscle pain. What else? You can treat a lot of stuff. You can treat almost anything in the body now. There's now, say almost anything, there's of course going to be lots of disclaimer there, and well, let's go into the next question, and that'll make sense. Acupuncture is good for blank. What is acupuncture good for? So I'm not going to my acupuncturist if I'm having a heart attack. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to my acupuncturist if I just had a stroke, like just had a stroke. I'm gonna go to the hospital, gonna get some scans done. You better believe the second that I get out of the hospital from that stroke, I'm going to my acupuncturist, and I'm getting aggressive therapy, aggressive intervention, aggressive treatment for months and months and months to regain what can possibly be regained. So emergency medicine, emergent medicine, modern medicine, right? It's very easy to throw rocks at that and be like, it's so bad, so evil, so terrible, the hospitals are awful, they're a disaster, and to a large extent they definitely are. But if I'm having a heart attack, or I've just broken a bone going to the hospital, and I'm gonna have, or if I have an acute infection, I need IV antibiotics, or else I'm gonna die, if I have a kidney infection, things like that, I'm going to the hospital. That's totally okay. I'm just not gonna go to the hospital now. But it is super important to understand the distinction in specialty, in that going to the emergent med, even the hospital doctors don't understand a lot about nutrition. Most of them are not taught about nutrition. So you go to the hospital to treat these emergency things, you get these specialty procedures done, and then you leave, and there's all this recovery work to be done, there's all this work to be done in the way of active maintenance and preventative maintenance. So I just want to go here a second. There's very, very few things that I know of where you procedures where you go in, it's handled, and it's not had a molar, a wisdom tooth that had to be removed. It was impacted, it was causing a tremendous amount of pain. It was not a quick in and out procedure, and I was dealing with that. I was recovering from that for easily a month. We have a call. I got Lyme's disease, one of the antibiotics, and then it was 2 weeks, and then I had to get my digestive tract back, which was messed up from antibiotics for months, and then my energy level was out of whack. So my recovery was 6 months to a year from Lyme's disease easily. COVID, my recovery from COVID has been ongoing for a year or 2 years. So there's right expectation, like correcting the expectations around this stuff. Like you go to the hospital for surgery, there's gonna be recovery time. If you break a bone, you go to the hospital, there's gonna be recovery time. You get a blister, there's gonna be recovery time. We want to shorten that recovery time, and we want to do as much as we can in that recovery time to accelerate recovery and to prevent it from ever happening again. That's where traditional East Asian medicine comes in. That's where naturopathic medicine is really great. So chiropractic to some extent is really good at that. There's lots of these other things, digestion, nutrition, supplementation, massage therapy, all these things that you can do to accelerate the healing process and to bring your baseline metabolism to the state of being super strong, super resilient, ultra fast healing in between, right? We have states of not needing to go to the hospital and needing to go to the hospital, but all the stuff that happens in between, there's a lot of more improvement in the mainstream what happens in that space. So what is acupuncture good for? Well, it's good for what it's good for. There are protocols for treating people with heart attack and severe hemorrhaging, and there's herbal protocols for severe infection, but the right tool for the right job. If you need a defibrillator, you need a defibrillator. So let's, not cut off our noses to spite our faces. Am I using that right? Am I using that right? I don't think I'm using that right. No big deal. Is acupuncture painful? Yes. Okay. You get stabbed. You get stabbed. People say that acupuncture is not supposed to hurt. That's a lie. People say that you don't feel the acupuncture needles. That's a lie. You're getting stabbed with metal. Feel it. You should feel it. That's how you know it's working. Okay. There are some super high level advanced acupuncturists, I'm sure, who put the needle in and you barely feel anything happen, and your whole life changes with just one needle, or maybe no needle, but they just put the magic invisible needle. Like, sure, those master level savants exist, but that's not most of your acupuncturists who just got out of school. That's probably not even most of your acupuncturists who have been in practice for 10, 15, even 20 years. The needles hurt. They just do. But they usually don't hurt more than you're hurting already. And it's a little bit of a hurt now, feel better later kind of thing. So if you're okay with exercise, right, hurting now and feeling great later, then you should be fine with acupuncture, hurting now to feel better later. It's really not that bad. Usually it just feels like getting hair plucked or a really bad mosquito bite. Maybe a bee sting at worst, but like it doesn't even hurt. I used to be a beekeeper actually, and it does not hurt as bad as a bee sting for sure. Bee stings are tremendously exciting experiences. Okay, what's our next question? Fertility, yeah, there's lots we can do for fertility with acupuncture, but also with herbs and supplementation and the whole and diet, the whole scope for, IVF and fertility, like creating the situation for the body to become more fertile, to create the good soil for that seed to be planted in, if you pardon the pun. There's a lot that can be done for that. And if you're paying $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, however much you're paying for IVF, like why not pay this, the same amount to ensure that it works, or even just a couple thousand dollars to ensure a better likelihood of that working? If you're going through that process weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of IVF and preparing the body to try and get pregnant, you should be doing acupuncture and herbs and supplementation like that as well to increase more and more and more likelihood so you're not hemorrhaging and burning your money paying for super expensive hormone therapies. Acupuncture is fake. Not true. It's real. Acupuncture needles exist, and the tradition has been around for thousands of years. I would be surprised if it was thousands of years of people fooling themselves before microscopes, right? I'm sure charlatans have been around for thousands of years, but I think it would have come out. I think it being BS would have been debunked if it was. And I don't believe it is, not because I want to believe, but because I have proof and I can show proof. Can acupuncture increase pain? Does that really make sense? Yeah, I mean, it's done wrong. You can experience negative effects of it. Can it cure infertility? Okay, let's unpack that for a minute. Can acupuncture cure infertility? Cure? Wait, can so acupuncture can it? Okay, so acupuncture implies receiving therapy from an acupuncturist. What is the quality of that person? How are they, or what is the quality of their medicine? How well are they trained? What do they know about fertility? All that is our variables, right? Can it help with? Can it cure? What does it mean to cure? Everybody has a different idea of what curing is. Does curing infertility mean going from not being able to conceive to conception? Yeah, acupuncture can definitely do that. Can it take you from a place of, like, I don't even know how you would say like curing, like implying that there's the absence of the problem completely. I think there's more middle. There's a lot of middle ground. Your cure, people want to be cured. I get it. I totally understand. I want to be cured, but unfortunately, medicine, I don't think necessarily works like flip. It's not like flipping a light switch. You go to acupuncture, you flip a light switch, and it's cured. It's there's degrees and there's progression and there's stages and there's lots of in between. Between I have a problem and my problem is gone. There's all this territory in the middle where there's improvement and backslides and progress and how much of that. completely cured and completely uncured, like how much of that middle ground is the ground where somebody could conceive a child? Like probably quite a bit of it. We don't know. We don't really know. So infertility is a tricky word. It's a tricky topic for people. I think inability to conceive is less of a, you know, it's less of a stigma. It's less hard to pill for people to swallow. If you're having trouble with conception, that's common. That's super common. And there's lots that can be done from it. Infertility is like you're barren, you're gonna never have kids again. And like it's just it's hard to know that. It's really hard to know. And kid and pr pregnancy and stuff like that. It's a miracle of life, man. It's so unpredictable. And what's up with that? You know, so is if we reframe the question to is acupuncture a beneficial thing to do if I'm having trouble experience if I'm having trouble conceiving? Absolutely. The answer is absolutely yes. And provided that you find somebody who's specialized in it and you find somebody who knows what they're doing, have you know somewhat of a track record, or they have the protocols, or they if maybe they don't have their new practitioner. They've at least studied with a master who knows what they're doing, who has that track record, and who can guide them along the process. So, acupuncture, you know, traditionally is passed down from master teacher to, you know, disciples to stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot that can happen in terms of resolving fertility issues. So, that's all for now. I'm gonna jump off. Thanks for listening, and I hope this is helpful, and I hope you get something out of this. And talk soon. Bye bye.